All right, in an instant, an auto accident can put you in the worst financial position of your life. It's an absolute must. You got to hire the right lawyer. You're going to make sure that your insurance companies pay you what you are owed. Injury attorney David Femininio and his team, they are exactly who you need to call. They have been making insurance companies pay for over 30 years. They're going to help you with your case as well. David is ready to speak to you personally. Right now, 855-65-CRASH. That's 855-65-CRASH, or you simply go to the website, getdavidgetpaid.com.
All right, Sully, give us the ticket text, and then we can get into the Michigan stuff. I wanted to see if people were walking into offices like ours today. This place is a pit. People are just, oof.
Yeah, after a vacation, it takes me 3 working days until I'm back to normal and good to go. Maybe that's the case with people.
Oh, people here? Please.
Mike, I seriously just texted my buddy before you came on the air stating that the first day back from holiday sucks. It's one of the worst of the year.
Well, go ahead. Oh, Roberto's losing clothing here. What is?
I just got a white T-shirt.
Oh, my God.
It's had my undershirt on. It's so hot back here. It's like a sauna.
You look like you're starring
in
Greece.
Now.
Oh, my Lord. Go ahead.
Get down
what
to like 71, please.
Does it work?
Jeez. 76. It's getting on 76 degrees in here.
What kind of monster does that?
Yeah, I can't work in these conditions, seriously. Anyway, so I worked on New Year's Eve.
Oh,
okay?
God. Oh, Lord.
What?
And there was a request put in for me that I needed to send out a FedEx to corporate, okay? It was a box. It was a camera I had to send back. Right, because if I didn't send it back that day, the company would be billed a lot of money for this piece of equipment.
Be a shame if it got lost.
So I'm running around. Of course, like, you know, Cheryl at the front desk isn't here. The place is empty.
Right.
Completely empty.
So now you got to be like Indiana Jones to get this thing to happen.
Oh, you should have seen me. Right. So I'm digging through. I'm looking for FedEx labels. I don't even know what that is. I don't even know what I'm looking for.
Bro, the printers don't work here. You think they got FedEx labels?
So I finally, after like 25 minutes of search, I find the FedEx label. I fill it out, but I still don't know what to do with it. I'm like, okay, so I keep a copy, but then I stick a copy on. But which one do I stick on? And it was a total debacle.
Sounds like Jim Harbaugh finding a quarterback.
So it took forever. And then, of course, there was no pickup on New Year's Eve. So
no.
I had to take it to the FedEx store.
What, did you go to the little terminal or did you go to the store?
The store.
New Year's Eve, they wanted you dead.
They were still open?
Yeah.
You walk in that place on New Year's Eve, they want you dead.
Yeah. And of course, I have no idea what I'm doing. I just say yes to everything. I hand her the package. I just say, just send that where that goes. And it goes on like the company account or whatever. And she gives me the receipt. I look at the receipt. It costs $175 to mail it.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Happy New Year.
The idea that somehow the company's fate was in your hands,
yeah, right,
on New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
It's like handing a machine gun to a baby.
That's a movie plot.
I felt good. I got it done, though. Got it done.
Yeah, it'd be a shame if you didn't. All right, so look. I don't even know what to do here. I mean, it's there's an idea you turn into this show, tune into this show, and there's an expectation. All right, well, I'm going to deliver a monologue, opinions, and I do it differently than other guys here, and that's great. It's part of what makes us different. But, like, I'm sitting here today, and the monologue begins and ends, and it's very simple. It's just like headline. Jim Harbaugh, this dude kind of sucks. Like, really? Like, I think if you're out there defending Harbaugh or rationalizing his failures, you're either a dumb guy being honest because you're dumb and you're just saying what you feel, or you're a dishonest smart person. And you know what you're saying is full of ish, but you're doing it because you got marching orders. Like, I don't. That game yesterday was infinitely winnable because Bama did not want to be there. Now, understand, it was a no-win spot where if Harbaugh wins, Bama doesn't want to be there. If Harbaugh loses, dude sucks. I said that going into it. But you'd much rather be on the side of beat Bama, who wasn't interested, get off the schneid, win a bowl game, win as an underdog, cross a few things off the list. Not a bad afternoon of work. I mean, you watch that game, and I'm going, Alabama's backup, Mac Jones, is so superior to Shea Patterson, it's not even funny. And the fall off from Mac Jones to Tua is titanic. You're talking about the number one pick in the draft to a kid who's going to be in the transfer portal. I'm watching, you know, Shea Patterson didn't get better. I'm watching all the college football I can watch. And I sit there and I go, all right. I see Clemson, a school who was a nothing most of my life. Signed Tommy Bowden. A nothing. They're a machine. And they get elite quarterbacks. And they get them hand over fist. I watch Oklahoma, who every year brings in a QB in the portal and they're in a Heisman race. Brings in a walk-on from Texas Tech and they're in a Heisman race. I watch LSU, school who's never had a QB, has never had a big-time offense. Make some changes. Get a kid in the portal. They might have the best offense I've ever seen. And then I watch Jim Harbaugh, and I'm going, what is this? What is it? And I can't yell about it because it's I told you, I want the guy fired. But you're not going to do that. But I mean, the resume stuff, I've said it all. There's nothing more I can say. I mean, you could spitball it. Well, 0-10 is an underdog, and 0-5 against OSU, and you know, outscored a zillion to one in the second half of these bowl games. He's lost four bowl games in a row, and no trips to Indy, no Big Ten titles. I'm spitballing here. I actually, here's what it is. And I don't mean this in a literal sense that this man is like a political activist and a dangerous person. So don't get insulted. But in many ways, Jim Harbaugh is a terrorist. And you're the hostage. Like, he's holding you hostage. He's holding your fandom hostage. Because he don't have to do nothing and he ain't going to get fired. But he's not going to win anything. And all the while, you're stuck. You're being held hostage. And on one side of the aisle, you're going to get the idiot fans who go, well, it's better than Brady. It's better than Rich Rod. Acting like 10 wins matters in 2020. And you're like, no, that's not really true. And when you know, then you get the other people who chime in and they go, well, those aren't the expectations. Like, I mean, Stoney sounded like the Golden Girls this morning. Well, I just don't get upset about it. All right, thanks, Mike. Thank you for your contribution. Oh, well, the expectations not to do X, Y, and Z. And I go, wait a minute. Harbaugh got hired. He was viewed as the best coach in the country. He's driving around in a yellow Corvette doing music videos. We're talking about how many titles he's going to win. Now, all of a sudden, 5 years in, he's done nothing. P.J. Fleck's got an 11-win season in Minnesota. You don't have a single one here. You can't beat OSU. You're getting bombed by them. I mean, bombed. You can't win a bowl game, save your life. And he's just lost his three best recruiters. Last year with Washington and Madison. This year, he just lost Chris Patridge. Is anyone else looking at this and going, this dude kind of stinks? Like, I really don't care that he played there. And, you know, he tries to dress like his hero and gets his hair cut at Bo's barbershop. Like, that stuff don't really matter to me. Smashing nuts off of a grave. Like, I don't really care. Do you people realize you're being held hostage? Do you realize? Your fandom is hostage now. He's not going anywhere, and he ain't going to win nothing. And all the while, you got the duct tape over your mouth and your wrists, and, you know, you're being held hostage. And as a State fan, I mean, I almost feel bad for you. Almost. We got our own problems. But we can rap about it. I don't want you to think there's going to be some fire and brimstone today. I don't have it. 248-539-9797. Let's start 2020 off the right way. I think as a Wolverine, Harbaugh is a sports terrorist, and you are sports hostages. 97-1. All right, that's great. Thank you for nothing. So that's where we are. In essence, Harbaugh's a sports terrorist, and you are his hostage. Like, school's making money. Enough of you idiots still go to the games to where he don't have to win nothing. And enough of the media is still in your pocket. Did you hear Greg McElroy? Oh, he couldn't put Harbaugh's calamari in his mouth fast enough. It was unbelievable. McElroy, you know, I know fans are bummed out with the Ohio State game, but a couple plays here or there, it was closer than the score. What are they, handing out crack in the booth? But that's what the media lines up to do. So, like, look here. You want a prime example? You want to tell me Jim Harbaugh is his great coach? We don't even need to get into the fact he can't find a quarterback. We don't even need to get into the fact he can't recruit with the big dogs. We don't even need to get into the fact he can't win these games. Let's just stay out of it. Look at the clock management towards the end of the first half. Big, bad Jim Harbaugh. So scared of Alabama that he was more worried about not giving the ball back to Alabama than he was giving his team any chance of scoring a touchdown or even getting a realistic field goal try. Kudos to Nordine for hitting a 58-yarder. But you don't play for a 58-yarder. I've pointed out a laundry list of Harbaugh looking like a guy who upstairs just isn't the sharpest tool in the shed anymore. And I file that right in there. I would put that tape up and have a group of coaches sit down and watch that. I don't think there's a coach worth their paycheck who would go, that was a well-run sequence. I don't get it, man. There ain't no yelling for me, though. This is a clown show. It's a joke. And when people like Stoney or people like, you know, McElroy, people want to go out and apologize for this guy, I'm sure Cowherd's going to do it again today. I'm not lowering the bar here. Not doing it. No, Michigan is not Clemson. They're not Alabama. But your job is to aspire to be those schools. Jim Harbaugh has not put you any closer. I mean, what? You're pumped up about having Gary Moeller of the 2010s? That's what I get. I mean, think about it. Jim Harbaugh is entering year six. He doesn't have a quarterback. How's that possible? And by the way, oh, I know what's going to happen here, too. Everyone here is going to be juggling his balls all offseason about how Milton and McCaffrey are the future and Heisman and Joe Milton once threw a football 90 yards. Guys, they couldn't beat out Shea Patterson. So why am I going to think that they are somehow epic? It's not impossible, but let's remember, and your very own Doug Karsh, the czar of Ann Arbor affairs, was on before me saying, I believe the meritocracy is real. They couldn't beat Shea out. Well, and what the F does that tell you? You're in the same spot I am in East Lansing. Whoever we got, they couldn't beat out Lewerke. We are screwed. Go ahead, Mike. David, please.
Well, I'll yell it, but no, I'm just
No,
messing.
You're not, because I won't listen to it.
Mike, I've been trying to make sense of the whole expectation type line that Stoney was saying earlier. You just mentioned that. And I just don't understand if that's where we're at right now, where you can just say, hey, Michigan, if they're winning 10 games and this is how it's been the past 20 years, then those are my expectations. I just don't get that. Then are you never going to strive to have better expectations? And I always like to go back to this because we're here after year five with Jim Harbaugh. I firmly believe that if day one in that press conference, if you would have read to people what you just read a couple segments ago with
that
the results.
That he would never win a game as an underdog. That he would be 4-9 against his rivals, featuring an 0-5 against the Buckeyes. No trips to Indy. No Big Ten titles. Would lose 4 straight bowl games. Would never develop a quarterback. P.J. Fleck would have an 11-win season at Minnesota before Harbaugh had one at Michigan. And really, the last 2 weeks of the year, Ohio State and the bowl game, 5 years in, 1-9. You'd go, nah.
Be stunned.
Yeah.
And it's
you'd say he deserves to be fired.
It's not even to a point, though, where I think if someone, hey, if someone wants to have a discussion, if it's, hey, he's not quite achieving the expectation, he's just fallen a little short. I don't even think he's close. He hasn't even been close to reaching any sort of true expectation of winning the Big Ten or beating Ohio State, anything like that. He's so far away from that. It's like the only positive stat that people really want to point to is he has the 8th best overall record since he started at Michigan among any coach in college football. But he's hired at Michigan to do more than just beat bad teams. He's
Mike,
hired at Michigan to win
up,
big games.
Is Harbaugh a sports terrorist?
Yes, and an absolute failure at Michigan so far.
And you're hostage. They're not getting rid of him. And he ain't going
to
leave.
Yeah, in order for him to go, it would have to be some sort of calculated leave for the NFL.
There it is. It'll be an ass-kissing. It'll be a thank you, Jim, and thank you for your service, and you left us in such a better spot, which is complete malarkey. And then he would go back to the NFL. They're not firing him. You're stuck. You got to sit there. I mean, it's really no different than the Pistons, if we're going to be honest about it. Michigan has no chance to win a championship, but they're better than a lot of teams. Now, in this case, this year, the Pistons are such garbage that it doesn't matter. But, like, you get my premise. You know, if you're floating around 500 in the NBA, that's kind of what being a 9-3 regular season program is in college football. You're just kind of there. You lose the big games. You win against trash. And maybe you go pop somebody in a bowl game. That's you're heading nowhere. How is it? Boy, if I were a Michigan fan, it would start to attack my passion for my program. And that's what's happened with Michigan State. I'm just becoming more apathetic to it. If Mark wants to operate a retirement community, it's his business.
Well, let me ask you this, though, and I don't disagree that it would have to be that leaving for the NFL better shape type exit if he were to leave. But in your opinion, a year from now, he goes 9-3 again. I don't care about the bowl game.
Sure.
He goes 9-3 again.
Yeah, he'll go back to the league.
What do you think happens?
I think he's going to leave for the NFL. I don't think this is just going to continue. I mean, like, it's going to get to a point where basically Michigan football, it's got a pathway, right? Like a fork in the road. They're going to go to the left and be viewed as a joke or irrelevant, or the blame's just going to go to him. And it's going to be, wait a minute, we're 6 years deep. This dude hasn't beaten anybody. Like, Mike, I don't think Harbaugh will stand for it. He already looks like a fool. Like, the funniest part is, at Oklahoma, they're running Lincoln Riley's system. And the system is putting guys in New York City winning Heisman trophies. Whether it's Jalen Hurts, whether it's Baker Mayfield, whether it's Kyler Murray, or next year they've got this Rattler kid who everyone's hot and bothered about, right? You know, you go down to Ohio State, and it was Urban's system, and Ryan Day came in, and now Ryan Day is running his deal. He gets a guy in the transfer portal, and a guy throws 40 touchdowns and one interception. LSU gets a guy in the portal. And at LSU, he puts up the greatest offensive season maybe I've ever seen. Meanwhile, Harbaugh constantly is getting transfers and they blow. Like, it's unbelievable to me. It's just a failure. Why are his contemporaries able to work the system but not him? Oh, I know. He cashed in his chips offensively. Brings in Josh Gattis and Nothing. Oh, we were good against Indiana. Who cares?
But to think about what he's done, too. We're to a point where people are now devaluing Michigan's entire program and history of Michigan's program just because they want to support Jim Harbaugh.
That's kind of a psychosis. It's almost like, what do you think? He's going to come to dinner and say thank you for your support? You're going to pay your mortgage? I think if you're a Michigan fan, this is where you begin to become very apathetic about things. Yeah, but you know what'll happen? Media will build them up all offseason. They'll be ranked in the top 10 again, and then they'll go out and disappoint everybody again. You ain't going to win nothing next year. Do you believe that?
No, I don't think he will. But it's just laughable to me that now, all of a sudden, because Harbaugh hasn't done well, now the excuse is, well, Michigan, to begin with, Michigan's not an elite program. No, they're not at the national level. Really? I mean, over the years, Michigan hasn't had the resources or even the brand where people would admit they're a national program.
It's because there's no one honest in the media. They're pandering to a massive fan base. They just want to keep them happy so they can hang on to their jobs, so they don't have to take a buyout, so they don't have to get laid off, so they don't upset the apple cart. I mean, are you kidding me? Colin Cowherd is a very wealthy man and very good at his job. But if you don't think he's shilling for a big-time property that his company paid big-time dollars for, you're not paying attention. It's ridiculous to hold any opinion that Harbaugh's somehow doing a good job. Ridiculous. 97.1.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.